God is a wonderful God, and He's blessing us in so many ways. At the close of this message, we will be sharing a little bit about the dedication and dedication of our officers, having prayer for them, but also for every one of us that serve in the church. We need God's power. One thing we discovered on yesterday in our men's fellowship, we can do nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't even read your Bible without the Holy Spirit teaching you and guiding you. So thank God we're going to be having prayer, and that means everybody who serves in any capacity, we need you here so we can pray and say together the words of the Scripture and dedicate our lives to God. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Now I want to invite you to our closing sermon as we share with you from the theme of living through the test. How many of you all have been tested? How many of you have been tested? How many of you passed? Oh, still got some in school. Okay, all right. I understand. I know what you're talking about. I know where you're from. Amen? But we give God the praise and all the glory as we've looked at the temptation and the test of Jesus. He was the Son of God. There was no debate about that. But what made His testing different is that He was not just doing it because He was the Son of God. He was being led by the Holy Spirit. Not only is Jesus our Lord and our Savior, but He's also our example of how we need to live our lives. So as you go through your test, and as I go through my test, the Bible tells us, look unto Jesus. Why? Because He was tested. He was tempted at all points just like you and just like me. And yet He passed the test because He relied on the power of God. That's the holy example that we have of Christ Jesus. Amen? Son of God. Son of God. He could have done it alone by Himself, but He said, I'm going to teach my followers how to listen to God, how to listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Today we're going to be talking about living proof. Living proof. Have people ever said to you, do you know who you are? Have they ever challenged you and say, well, if you're all that, then show me something. What's the proof that you present to them? Do you try to do as they suggest? And that's certainly what the devil did in these passages of Scripture. We'll read how that Jesus was put to the test, just like you and I. Luke chapter 4, verses 9 through 14. And he, the devil, brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here, asking Jesus for proof. For it is written, he will give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they will bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, notice that all the temptation, all he could do to bring Jesus down, but he couldn't do it because he was standing in the power of God. He departed from him for a season. And when Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the regions round about. Thank God for the reading of his word. You may be seated. Father, bless us now with the power from on high. Give us the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we might share your word. I thank you for the time that I had studying. I thank you for the joy that it brought to my heart. And I pray that same joy would be into your children's heart right now as we share the excitement of your holy word. Thank you, God, for what you're about to do and for what the people are about to receive through the anointing and the power of God Almighty, we pray. Amen and amen. I read this little note the other day. The words were like this. The devil saw me down on my knees with my head hanging low and thought I was defeated. And then he heard me say, amen. Some of y'all gonna get it a little bit later. know, when the devil gets you to a place where he feels like you got you in a corner, has your back against the wall, the number one thought that comes to your mind is, who am I and how did I get here? You must never forget who you are. Because it's not based on you identifying yourself. It's God declaring that you are his child. Before Jesus even went into the wilderness, God the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Nothing throughout all of eternity was to change that, because the identity was given to one person and one person only, and that's Jesus Christ. Guess what? God loved you so much, and he wanted to identify you not as the sinner, but as the child of God. So when you surrendered to Christ, guess what God did? He put you in Christ, so that he could bless you with favor all he wanted to. Nobody can block your blessing except your own mind. No one can hinder you from what God has planned for your life except you. The devil can't tempt, but he can't take. Are y'all in the building? Let me say it again. The devil saw me on my knees with my head hanging low and thought I was defeated. And then he heard me say, amen. Is that all right? Temptations are going to come. And there will even be the temptation for you and me to put God to the test. How do you do that? How does that happen? It all centers around this proof, wanting to prove something. I want to do a couple things today. I'm going to demonstrate and help you with the fact that you don't have to prove anything to anybody. You just need to live for God. But the second thing that I'm going to show you is that every time you get in trouble, you can pull out your ID and say, I am who he says I am. Are y'all in the building today? In the previous temptations that Jesus faced, the devil wanted to make him a bread maker. Hey, Jesus, take these stones and turn them into bread. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So the devil took him through another test. And this test was, Jesus, do you really want this power? Then listen to me. I'll give you all of the kingdoms of the world if you just bow down and worship me. Jesus said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Jesus knew his identity, but he also knew his purpose. If you're going to make it in this life without you being chased from one thing after another, you got to focus your attention on who God wants you to be. If you focus your attention on what people want you to be, then you're subject to be their slave, their servant. Every time they speak to you, now you got to do this, now you got to do that. Here is Jesus himself being tempted, saying to his church down through the ages, let me show you how to do this. Let me give you a walking demonstration of how to get through the test of trying to identify who you are. The devil said, now, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down from this temple mount, from this pinnacle on which you're standing. And Jesus said, I'm not going to tempt my Father. I'm not going to put him to a needless test. He said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of reasons how we, a couple of illustrations of how we tempt God, but I want to give these kind of folk that love to put God in the corner. I know the Lord going to bring me out of this. Well, why you get into it in the first place? I know the Lord going to help me, especially some of y'all around holiday time. I'm going to go on and eat this, but the Lord going to take care of me. I see how that works. There's there's a danger to this. You should never let the voice of external circumstances speak louder than the voice of internal truth. When God identified you, He spoke truth to your heart. This is who you truly are. Don't go beyond that. Don't go outside of that. Because once you find yourself in Christ, having your full identification, you don't need anybody else to define you. Nobody else to look at you on the job and say, well, are you so hotshot? I'm not a hotshot. I'm just here to do what I'm supposed to do. No one in your family to tell you, you think you better than we are because we go to church. They're trying to push you into a corner. And yes, sometimes it will bring you down on your knees. And they'll think that you're defeated. But that's when you can say, amen. In other words, I had to pray about it. I had to go to God in prayer because I forgot who I was. Circumstances in life will push you to the point where you're just scrambling for answers and you forget who you are. You're not that person on TV. You're not that actor on a stage. You're God's child. And if you're God's child, God says to you, look up to me. Don't look to the devil. A lot of people have made themselves slaves of things because they think that thing is going to identify them. Whether it be money, whether it be treasures, it could even be loved ones. Things can creep into your life, as Robert Frost says, creep in on tiny cat's feet. They can creep into your life and get you all turned around in your head. Now you don't know who you are without that thing. Do you not know that that thing cannot bless you? It cannot help you through your struggle. It cannot get you through the trial that you're facing. It certainly cannot heal you if you get sick. You need God in your life. And oh, ladies and gentlemen, God wants to identify with you. That's why He gives you His ID. I don't want you going by yours. You'll get all turned around, and you'll forget your purpose for which you're living. I call these people, again, risk takers. They take risk when they don't need to. First risk taker is someone who risks something and it really serves no purpose. It serves no purpose at all. Let's rerun this. Let's look at Jesus. Here's the devil taking Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple. And by the way, the pictures I've seen of the old temple that was built in Jerusalem. First of all, if you approached it from the Kidron Valley, you had to look up to it. That's why in all of the Psalms, it talked about going up to the Lord. It's actually built on the Temple Mount. And now you have nations fighting over who's going to rule it. You've got the Christian that say it's ours. You've got the Muslim that says it's ours. You've got the Jews that say it's ours. But really, it's the Lord's. So whenever you would go up to the temple, you would have to look up. And coming from the Kidron Valley, those people that looked up to the temple, they would start rejoicing. Because they knew that they were going to worship the Lord. Here is the devil trying to play on Jesus' feelings. Took him not just to the temple, but to the pinnacle. Now he's up real high. Everybody can see him. And the devil whispers to Jesus, hey, you want to get everybody's attention? Jump. Jump down. If you're the Son of God, jump, Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm not going to put my Father to a test. If he had jumped, what real purpose would have had? None whatsoever. If you jump through folks' hoops, what real purpose is that going to have? Oh, if you be the pastor, you ought to do this. Well, that ain't what the Lord told me to do. Can I talk to you? People will look at you and say, well, if you're a Christian, you'll loan me $100. I know I ain't going to do that. So you have to ask yourself, when you're being tested, when you're being tempted, does it serve a real purpose? And the real purpose is, does it honor God? Second thing you've got to ask yourself is that whether this needless risk, is it tempting God? Is it putting Him to the point of where now I'm demanding that God listen to me? Listen, you're not on any grounds whatsoever to demand anything of God. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't want what you demand. What you really want is goodness and mercy to follow you all the days of your life. If you get that, you got everything else. You got all you need. Well, I know God says in His Word, and by the authority of God's Word, I'm going to... Listen, you can't even read the Bible without God helping you to read it. You need His eyes to read with. You need His Spirit in order to interpret it. Are y'all with me? And you need His mouth to even utter a prayer. You need God at every point of your life. So why test Him? Watch this. Why the Lord just dropped something in my spirit. Why test the Lord when He's going to give you everything anyway? Do we have some witnesses in here? Adam and Eve were being tempted and tested, and they already had everything. How much more could you demand of God on your terms? You can't demand anything. The Bible says that He who spared not His own Son, how much more will He freely give you all things through Christ? Look at somebody, tell them, wait on Him. Look at somebody else, tell them, wait on Him. Oh, come here, Grandma. He may not come when you want Him, but He's always on time. How many of you found that to be true? But in the third area, the risk taker will say, not only am I doing something that serves no purpose, not only am I doing it tempting God, but the risk taker also said, this needless risk, it may cost me eternally. It may cost me. Jesus was only willing to do what the Father wanted Him to do. Here's where we need to, you and I need to go down the street of correcting our way of thinking. We need to do an alignment, amen? If you'd be honest with yourself and I'd be honest with myself, it's not always that I can say, Father, not my will, but Your will. How many of y'all got problems with that? I know y'all not willing to be honest, but I'm honest. I'll tell the Lord plenty of times, Lord, I don't see it Your way, but I'm willing to do it Your way because I know that Your way always turns out right. Amen. How many of y'all messed up so many times doing your own thing? How many of y'all got it wrong and got other folk in trouble over something you were doing? Come on, help me out in here. Help me out in here. But you got to realize, all of this is going down into eternity. Will it cost me if I do this? Rather than engage in a long dialogue with the devil, Jesus simply said, it's written. By this time, not only is the Lord hungry in His body and tired, but He's tired of the devil. So He puts Him in His place once and for all. Oh yeah, the devil caught Him when His head was hung down and when He was down on His knees. But when He said amen, the devil said, uh-oh. You got to pray through this life. Life will throw some things at you that you cannot take it without the hand of God being on you. But let me tell you something. When the world is trying to hold you back, that's when God comes in and gives you a Holy Ghost push. He pushes you. He urges you. He prompts you. Even when you don't want to go, God says, you going. Remember when your mama used to tell you, I ain't going to church today. Number one, you in their house. Hello, somebody. I'm talking to some young folk now. I need my sleep. I need to stay in bed. Young people, let me tell you something. Unless you're living in your own place, you can't tell your parents what you're going to do. You got to listen to them. That's what's wrong with us now. Kids are telling us everything. Let me put this thing in proper perspective. According to the law A child under the age of an adult is called an unemancipated minor. You're not free. You're not wards of the state, you're wards of your parents. Whoever feeds you, amen, is the one that tells you you need to do this. Amen? All right, let me move on. That's part of a different sermon. So how do we get through all of this? How do we work our way through the trauma and through the trial that we face in life? How do we get beyond the voice of the devil to hear the voice of God? Three things I want to say before we close. Number one, you must never put you in a place where you are a public spectacle. That's what the devil wanted Jesus to do when he put him on the temple. Hey, Jesus, you got everybody's attention. Let me tell you something. I love singing, love preaching, but I've learned if you don't do it for God, don't do it at all. I'd much rather sit in a corner and have God to say, son, you're doing what I want you to do. Matter of fact, I didn't want to preach. Amen. But it got pushed on me. When I was at Ulsan Air Base, South Korea, only a month away from the time that I'd give my life to the Lord spoke to me one night. Unusual thing. We're talking about that. How do you hear from God? I heard a soul crying out, a pitiful cry that I've never heard before in my life. And I said, God, who is that? And the Lord said, that's the soul of someone crying out from hell. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, preach my word. And I've stood on that 40-some years, trying to tell whoever that crying soul is, turn it over to Jesus. Give your life to the Lord. Surrender to Him, and God will turn your life around. He did it for me. He can do it for you. He can do it for everybody. Why? Because the Bible said God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It works. It just works. Never do anything to make yourself a public spectacle. In a few minutes, we're going to have the prayer and dedication and the reciting of different scriptures by those who serve in the church. Never do it because it's a title. Never do it because people are looking at you. Yes, they're going to look at you, but do it for the glory of God. Honor Him with your service. What greater cause could we ever serve than the cause of Christ? The world now, they're wanting to give recognition to everybody. They're having CMA awards and the People's Choice Awards. But I don't want to get involved for any of that. You know why? Because I'm looking for one award, and that's the one I get to heaven. Amen. And God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. How many of y'all looking for that award? Thanks be unto God. Second thing that bothers us, that hinders us from doing God's will, is that we want to be people pleasers. People pleasers. That'll get you in trouble. How many know you can't please folk? You know, they're almond joy folk. Sometimes they feel like a nut, sometimes they don't. Yeah. The religious leaders wanted to put Jesus to a test. They wanted Him to answer to their authority. And they had a lucrative business because they ran the temple. A lot of money came in. And guess what? In that day and time, as people worship in the temple, you couldn't just come in with your own animal to sacrifice it. You had to buy one from them. And you talk about cost markup. They would make their profits from the lambs and the bulls and all of the sacrifices that they made. And they came to Jesus, who was now disrupting their worship, came into the temple and turned over the table of the money changers and began to upset people, drove all those cattle out of the temple area and said, do not make this a house of merchandise. This is the Lord's house. It is a house of prayer. So they came up to Jesus. Whoa, 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 whoa. Time out, Jesus. Who gave you this authority? And how is it that you got this authority? And Jesus went on to ask them another question about, well, if you can tell me who John the Baptist was sent by, then I'll tell you who gave me this authority. Well, we can't answer you. And Jesus said, I'm not going to answer you then. Whenever people try to put you in a place, they're putting you on a spot because they want you to do what they desire. But if you can correct them, say, wait a minute now, hold up now. You mean you want me to obey your voice and turn away God's voice? Is that what you want me to do? Are y'all quiet in here? Y'all done got a little bit too quiet now. Your profit in life only comes from obeying the voice of God. Why do I say that? It's only God who gives you that next heartbeat. It's only God that allows the breath to go in and out of your lungs. Only God. If folks can't do that, they need to leave you alone. They need to go on about their business. Are y'all in the house? Because you are here to serve the Lord. Say this with me. I'm here to serve the Lord. Say that again. I'm here to serve the Lord. I will not serve anyone else except the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Well, let me just run down this little road here. Some people, they're not people pleasers, but they're risk takers. They love to take a risk. For instance, I've heard, and I'm not going to say the person is in here, I'm not going to say the people are in here, but I've heard some say, well, I'm going to go on and eat this extra sugar here, and it ain't going to bother me because I'm going to take some medicine and the Lord going to bless me. Look at somebody and say, well, already your conscience is telling you, look, fool, don't eat that. You remember what it did to you the last time. I don't care what anybody say, I'm going to eat this pork chop. My mama said, go on with your bad self. Don't be a risk taker. If you do anything, listen to God's plan. And I want to say this to challenge some of you earlier this year. One of the things I've learned from the voice of God is that God has a financial plan that works in everybody's life. Don't ask me all the details because I do not know how it works. But if you're going to take a risk, take the risk with God. If you're going to take the step of faith, take the step of faith with God. All right? His financial plan works, and it's simply called tithing. Say it with me, tithing. You don't hear me preaching a whole lot about it. I simply say, if you love God, then give. But let me tell you something. Back when I was in college on the GI Bill, didn't have a whole lot of money, God challenged me, if you will give me the 10%, I will bless everything else. And here's what I said to God. My wife is right there as a witness. Here's what I said to God. Lord, I don't know how to do it, but if you show me, I am going to do just that. Had two little small children and a wife to take care of. I said, God, it's yours. Scared to death as I'm writing out these checks. Crossroad Baptist Church. And then I was also a member of Spanish Grove, so I'd send Spanish Grove, amen, their money that they needed. Little bit by little, God turned everything around. Now, I'm by no means a rich person. Don't get me wrong. I'm by no means a rich person, but I tell you what, I'm blessed. And can I add to it? Highly favored. I come from a type of church that they did not talk about tithing, and if they did, it was, you need to bring it on here, bring that money on there. You know the kind of church where they would write your name on the board at the end of the year? Y'all remember that? And then they start with the ones who gave like $1,000. Then they start going down 500. And over this row right here is 300. Then the folks over here, $10. Y'all remember them churches? God said, you don't do it for that reason. If you love me, if you respect what I have given you, then you will honor me. Every time we give an offering in this church, we are honoring God. We're saying, Lord, you first gave it to me. Now I'm giving back to you in love and in fellowship because of your blessing. And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to preach this too. God's going to get his money one way or the other. You're going to pay somebody. Everybody's got something that they tied to. On Friday evening, after some folk get a paycheck, they can't stop and do anything else until they go to the A, B, C store. I used to be one of them. But thank God for grace. Thank God for his love that turned my life around. That's not the only thing. Amen. You're going to get the tire one way or the other. You're going to give it one way or the other. Sitting at home at your TV and you minding your own business. But all of a sudden, Home Shoppers Network comes on. Now you're paying your tithe, buying stuff you don't need that you might not even be able to wear, trying to impress folk who don't even like you. Help me preach up in here. Help me preach up in here. You're going to give your tithe to somebody. And when you give it to God, guess what? He doesn't keep your money in heaven. He turns it around and blesses you with more than what you give. Can I talk to somebody? Whoa, wait a minute, Pastor. I got to pay this bill. The thing I've learned, you don't need more money. You need less bills. Help me out, somebody. You can't ride but in one car at a time. And thanks be to God, if you tithe and love the Lord with it, he'll keep that old car going. Oh, it might smoke a little bit. Amen. It might chug a lot a little bit. But as long as you got Jesus. I wish I could talk to somebody up in here today. I know I got to close. But what is the proof of your identity? How do you know that you are who you say you are? They kept telling Jesus, prove it. He said, I don't have to prove it. Look at the miracles. Look at the blind eyes being opened. And the man who got healed of his blindness, he said, that's him. That's the one that gave me my sight. The one who got healed of the lame legs, when he'd been healed, he couldn't deny it. He said, that's him. That's the one. Why? Because Jesus, his identity wasn't just something that he had to prove to man, but he revealed it to mankind. Do I have some witnesses here? The Bible said that all through his ministry, they kept stopping Jesus, kept asking him, who are you? Not only did the devil tempt Jesus, but folks tempted him. And they're going to tempt you as well. But you got to keep on doing what you ought to do. You got to keep on serving God. But I heard somebody say, serving the Lord will pay off after a while. You'll have some witnesses here. You got to trust him. And the proof will be in the fruit. You plant an apple tree. You don't expect no cherries to grow on it. The pears, you want an apple tree. I know they've got all types of creation now where you got half orange and half lemon. Look at somebody and say, I like the real stuff. Half apple and half something else. Amen. I don't want the generic brand. I want the real thing. Anybody in the house? I don't want to mix my faith with anything else except Jesus. People say, well, I'm going to show you something deeper in God's word. I'm already deep because I love Jesus so much. He's done so much for me. You can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him. They kept saying, Jesus, prove yourself. And he proved his power when he would go out and demonstrate in the ministry because he cared for people. Jesus did not do anything because he was searching for identity. If you go back and read the miracles, the Bible said he had compassion. And his compassion, along with the power of the Holy Ghost, saw a hungry multitude. Jesus said, I'm not going to let them go until I feed them. Lord, we ain't got nothing. Jesus said, how much do you have? Well, we got 2 fish and 5 loaves. That's all we got. And one of them even said, what is that among so many? Jesus said, bring it to me. I'm going to show you something. Huh? He didn't have to say, oh, I'm getting ready to do something and I'm proving to you that I'm Jesus, the Son of God. No, no, no. He looked up to his father and said, Father, thank you for what you've given me. And then he gave to the disciples. And somewhere between giving to the disciples and giving to the people, the food started multiplying. I wish you would look back over your life. I wish you would say, I had nothing. Didn't even have 2 nickels to rub together to make a dime. But the Lord made a way out of no way. I wish somebody would say, I had nothing in my hands, but God had mercy on me. I wish somebody could say, I was broke, didn't even have anything, but the Lord had mercy on me. Thank God for mercy. They kept telling, prove it, prove it. And notice this, the Bible says that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. When you got the Spirit of God in your life, people gonna know it. You ain't gotta wear a badge. You don't have to have a hat on your head. All you can say, I know I'm God's child. And if I do anything, I'm just gonna be a witness for the Lord. Do I have any witnesses in here? That's the proof you need. That's the proof you need. That's the proof you need. He proved his identity when he went to the cross because it had already been prophesied. Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. When they saw Jesus on that cross, the folks began to mock him. They said, if you be the Son of God, why don't you come down? But then a soldier looking at Jesus, he said, something about this man. He was a man that had no religion, but all of a sudden he got the good religion. He said, surely, somebody said, surely, surely, this must be the Son of God. Do I have a witness here? One day. You know what they did? That same Jesus that was tempted of the devil, that same Jesus that worked the miracles, they put him in a tomb. And a lot of folk trying to put Jesus in a tomb. They're trying to lock him away. But you can't hold back what's real. On that third day, on that third day, on that third day, Jesus got up. I gotta stop. But I can't stop. The grave got sick. The grave started upheaving. The grave said, I ain't never felt like this before. And the grave had to acknowledge, that's him. That's him. But then that's not all. Jesus appeared, began to walk around. And Mary got to talking and was crying and saying to herself, they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they put him. All of a sudden, she heard Jesus call her name. And she said, Rabboni, my master, my savior. She was saying, that's him. That's him. But the question is, what do you say about it? Who do you say he is? If you don't know that he's a rock in a weary land, he's a shelter. Good God Almighty, I feel like preaching up in here. He's a shelter in the time of storm. What do you say about it? Forget all the other reports you read. Who do you say he is? And if you can't look up to him and say, Lord, you're my Savior. Lord, you're my God. Listen. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to sit down. I know I said that 5 minutes ago, but I got to tell you this. I didn't get saved in a church. I was in Osan Air Base, South Korea. Bernard knows something about it. Osan Air Base, South Korea. I was drinking, trying to have myself a good time. But the Lord got to knocking. Let me in. God, I'm in a club. And the Lord said, you're really in a mess. And you need me. And in that little club, I had to sit down in a chair, put my drink down, and listen to the Lord. Are y'all in the building? Jesus said to me, if you trust me, I'll guide your life. If you trust me, I'll make something of your life. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not this, and I may not be that, but I can tell you one thing. I'm a child of God. You can't make me doubt him. Oh, you can't make me doubt him, because he's my Savior. Can you say, that's him? That's him. Father, we thank you for your blessing. Oh, God, I'm not finished preaching. Oh, God, but I thank you. I thank you. Thank you for the work that you're doing in my life. Thank you for the Holy Spirit guiding me each and every day. Thank you for showing up in this service. And I pray that if someone who've not lifted up their voice unto you and cried out, Lord, have mercy, I pray that they would do it in this hour. They would make that confession. If you're online, you can do it. You can do it. Just commit yourself and say, Lord, have mercy on me. God will do all the rest. All you've got to do is say yes. In his name I pray. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. How many of you have ever been down and didn't even know which way was up? Oh, but then God showed you the way. He's a faithful God. Listen. When there's no one else to turn to but you, you're the only answer to the situation, Lord, that we've gotten ourselves into. But Master, won't you please come down and give us a helping hand, Lord, cause we need you. We need you right now. Can anybody say that? There's a lot of people going hungry, cause they can't get nothing to eat. Have mercy, Lord. There's a lot of children going naked, yeah. They don't even have clothes or shoes for their feet. Oh, but Master, won't you please come down? give us a helping hand. Lord, 'cause we need you. We need you right now. How many of y'all had to pray that prayer? Ooh, right now, Lord. Hey, right now. Oh, right now, Lord. Lord, we need you right now. Oh, Lord, we need you. We just need you right now. One more thing. You see, that man has gotten out of hand with his evil way. Yeah. Can't you see that he is destroying us? Just a little bit more, each and every day. But somebody say, Master, won't you please come down, Lord, and give us a helping hand. Cause we need you. We just need you right now. Hey, Lord, we need you. We just need you right now. Oh, we need you right now. Lord, 'cause we need you. Lord, 'cause we need you. Anybody need him in here? Lord, 'cause we need you. We need you right now.